Welcome to the Next Brave Thing podcast. My name is Ella Hooper, and I believe that breakthrough is on the other side of bravery. This podcast features brave stories, emotional health, and creativity to inspire you to take your next brave step. Welcome back to another episode of the Next Brave Thing podcast. I'm your host, Ella Hooper, and I am here with a very good friend. We've done a lot of life together, and that is Lisa Brewer. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
You're welcome. It's fun.
I know. It's so fun. I can't believe we haven't done this sooner.
Yeah.
Because we literally see each other probably every day.
Yeah.
But then we're so busy. I think we like had maybe like 6 months and we're like, we haven't even caught up properly. So we only just like caught up like a couple of weeks ago. We're like, it's been a while, even though we see each other nearly every day. So Lisa and I actually helped start the Bethel Conservatory of the Arts, and Lisa is the head of the dance program. And so we have gone on a pioneering journey. And we've learned a lot about ourselves and a lot about building something, building an organization, building ourselves, building people, being leaders. And I thought, I'm going to have her on because she has a beautiful story herself. And we wanted to talk about, like, because dreaming and going after your dreams and actually the real guts it takes to start something. But I'd love for our audience just to hear a bit of your background. You're the head of dance, which means you're a dancer. You also have started your own company, a dance company. So tell us a little bit about you.
So I'm a born and raised Dutchie from the Netherlands. Grew up there. I went to conservatory throughout all my teenage years, very much into the dance world, specifically the ballet world. It was an experience.
Very
super
strict.
Super thankful for the training. It's made me who I am today. I learned a lot about discipline and consistency and perseverance at conservatory, but it was also painful. I walked in already with a lot of my own pain, and then the perfectionism that can lay in the dance world didn't make that a lot easier. So I've had to find my journey with dance. I was 20 when I came to America. Came here to Reading to do a Bible school.
And we were in the same year.
Yeah. So we've both been here for like 10 years.
10 years.
Oh my gosh.
That's crazy.
Little me did not think I would live for 10 years in a little city in Northern California.
Well, I remember seeing you in first year of BSSM, and you and your sister Ava were these beautiful tanned, blondie, golden blonde hair girls. Yes, I remember you.
So I did school, and in my third year, I also interned in like building Bethel Conservatory of the Arts together with Ella. And then we got hired after that year, and that's when the journey started. I got engaged to my long-term on-and-off boyfriend.
Michael Brewer. Michael, I have to say about Michael, he is one of my favorite people. He also works at BCA. He is, he does all things operation, but he's very pastoral, very like he makes BCA feel safe. And he's like a brother to me. Like he really, I probably chat with him more than I chat with you now.
Tables have turned.
But
So that's, you know, we've been here ever since the last 7 years. In the last 2 years, I started a local dance company called Commune Dance Company, which was my own dream that I really have gotten to pioneer. Which is a whole story in itself and probably get into it. But it's been a sweet journey.
And you've kind of, I've watched your journey and you've had dreams come true. It right before my eyes in a beautiful way. So you obviously, like, I think in our first year of the school starting, you married Michael. So dream fulfilled. And then like you got your house and your, and then you had your little sweet daughter.
I have a 9 month old
Rosalie. She is so precious. She's so girly. She looks like Michael, but very girly. Very feminine. She is. She is so precious. So I know a lot of your story in that you, I think like me, I went to drama school. You went to dance conservatory. And I think when we started the school, we came in with ideas of we don't want it to be like our experience.
I really have a passion to do conservatory different. Yeah. And this idea of how can I raise dancers up that have discipline and grit and like beautiful technique and artistry, but really know the Lord.
Yeah.
But also don't have to tear themselves apart to find motivation. Because that was my experience in conservatory. It's like, let's talk about everything that's wrong so that we can find the motivation to do better, to be better, to become better dancers. And I wanted to see how we could do that differently. I walked out of conservatory with a lot of body issues, a lot of insecurity, a lot of fear of rejection, and a lot of shame. And yeah, I came into building BCA with a lot of like, let's do it different. Let's figure it out. Because I actually didn't really know if we could do it differently.
Yeah.
Was that possible? What would that look like?
Yes.
We were all young and feisty and passionate.
Yeah. We had so much vision.
Yeah.
Like, and I think like we had so many philosophical ideas about, we want to train people who really love themselves. They don't abandon themselves for their art.
Yeah.
We wanted them to perform from identity, like a secure place rather than for it. Like, I need to do that.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned, it's sort of been this great experiment because I remember our friend Nicola, who helped us write curriculum, taught us how to be college level instructors. She would always try and get the intangible concept of what does it mean to perform from identity, not for it.
Yeah.
And like, how do you create like actual practical, tangible outcomes? And I was talking to actually one of the moms of one of your dancers, and she was like, this, she's done so many programs, but this is the program that changed her life the most. And she learned how to love herself as a dancer. So tell us what kind of culture you've learned to grow to cultivate that kind of transformation in a dancer.
I think something I've noticed in the studio setting is it's so easy to start dancing for the teacher, for the fellow classmates, like for everyone around us. Because if the teacher says I'm doing a good job, clearly I'm doing a good job. The teacher says I'm not doing a good job, then, you know, something's wrong with me. And we as dancers, it's almost as soon as we step into the studio, we lose our voice. We lose who we are. We lose our voice because whomever is leading that class determines my value. And I think that is something I've had to learn in my years after my own conservatory experience, and that I want my students to learn, is that when they step into the studio, they know who they are. And from that place, they get to dance. They get to grow. Mm-hmm. I love giving feedback. I'm very much a teacher who can.
You love receiving it too. Lisa in our meetings is like, okay, I'm taking notes. How can I grow? Yeah. She is like such a grower.
But I think that it wasn't like that when I was younger. I've had to learn that I am so settled in who I am, who the Lord says I am, that now I can actually receive that. So I'm trying in class to set that atmosphere of like, this is first about who you are, and then you don't dance for me, you dance for you.
Yeah.
You dance for God. And you dance because it is the most life-giving thing to you.
Mm.
And from that place, we can grow. And I think just flipping that mindset and flipping the way we do it has really created a place of safety for students to get to discover themselves and then go, oh, well, Lisa, can you like grow me? I'm ready now for feedback. I'm ready to be grown without it actually affecting the deepest part of who I am. I think so often dancers quit because someone told them they were not good enough.
Yeah.
And I think that's so sad. And I don't want that to be the space in our studio, that what I say completely determines if you're actually going to dance or not.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the things I discovered.
That's so powerful.
I believe dance is available to all. It's not an elite thing. Yes, wherever you go requires different levels of technique, ages, all of that. But I think at the core, everyone's allowed to dance and train in dance because it's a thing that actually gives us life. It gives our heart life. It gives our body life. I think it's healthy for us. It's a release of emotions. It's a way to tell stories. So I think going back to, you are all allowed to be here. You're all allowed to dance. Now let's train. Now let's grow. And that we're not training to be perfect, to then be accepted and be worthy enough to dance.
Yeah.
We are here because we are worthy to dance, and our excellence is almost like our gift back. I've been given this thing, now let me grow it so I can give something excellent back. Yeah. So I think those are some of the things that I've started to instill in the studio. There's a strong focus on community and connection. We don't compare with each other. We don't tear each other down. We don't tear ourselves down because we compare ourselves with someone else. Like, we celebrate, we give everyone space. I'm not meant to be the dancer you are. I'm not meant to walk in your track. We're all meant to walk in our own. Yeah.
That's so powerful. Yeah, that's so powerful. And we'll get into talking about pioneering a school, but like, with, I think, like, any, there's sort of the rules of the world, like, yeah, rules of what is successful. And I think you could have that pursuing any career. It doesn't have to be, you know, creativity.
Yeah.
But I think the big rules of the world for a dancer is you have to be a certain height, be a certain size, have, yeah, this technique, and then you're deemed successful.
Yeah.
And I feel like what you've cultivated is possibility, whereas, yeah, like, when we try to like fit into these perfect standard of what a dancer looks like to be acceptable or, yeah, successful, and this is in any career, guys, so you can relate this to any kind of career, there are certain rules that can actually create defeat in us, or perfectionism, yeah, create that hustle kind of, I've got to prove myself.
Yeah.
But you've created a space where there could be possibility or opportunities for dancers, yeah, that are outside of the box of maybe you haven't seen it before. So tell me, yeah, a bit about, mm, like, that way of thinking, mm, rather than being in this box of like, because you do this beautiful tension, mm, because obviously we have people apply for us and send in their auditions. Like, we're honest about your technique. Yeah. We're not being like we're not sugarcoating anything, yeah, but we are also not disqualifying people, yeah, which, yeah, yeah, tell us about
that. I think it's, if I can fully accept and embrace where I'm at with my dance, then I can also look honestly outward and go, where would I actually fit? Yeah. What would be the space where I both actually get to give of my strength in dance and also grow a little bit, rather than going, oh, but this is what I want, but this is where I'm at. Like, there is,
yeah,
you know, we should be realistic about things. But I think sometimes, because we see success a certain way, being realistic means, well, then I should just quit dance because there's no space for me. And I'm like, no, that's not true. Right. There will be a space for you somewhere else. Let's go find it. I think I also have a strong focus on, like, if you can't find it, then build it.
Yeah. Same. You can tell we're pioneers.
Yeah. I've noticed that entrepreneurial pioneering spirit kind of comes in how I teach, because I'm like, oh, yeah, you might not fit that box. And the dance world requires you, you know, that company that you, yeah, want requires this of you. You might not fit that. And we can be honest about that, and that be okay. So then let's figure out where you do fit, and, yeah, what you do get to bring to this world, what you do get to bring to the dance world. And if it's not there yet, then let's build it.
Yeah. I love that. And I think that it's like coming out of judgment.
Yeah.
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 But inviting into like going on discovery.
Yeah.
You know, that's so good.
Yeah. I was trained in Ballet Conservatory for, you know, the national ballet companies. And kind of in my journey discovered that's just not, I honestly could say I'm not good enough for that. Point shoes are not my thing. This is not. Not only am I not good enough for that, it's also not fitting me. And I think that's an honest thing to be able, yeah, to say that and then go, but where does dance fit, or who can I be in dance? And I think getting to pivot that from a place of just identity has made me go, oh, but then this is where I actually feel like I have a lot of strength to offer, both as a performer, but also as a choreographer and teacher. And then I just, you know, went that direction or started to build that. And yeah, I think, yeah, it feels like a healthy place to be in.
Yeah, because ultimately, like, you can't deny the part of you. Let's say you're a dancer listening, but you aren't at that level, and let's be real.
Yeah.
But, like, follow the thing that brings you life, yeah, and joy. And sometimes we do have a fantasy And yeah. we'll get into talking about expectations and stuff. But sometimes we have a fantasy of what our career will look like because that will make me believe that yeah. I'm good enough or I'm yeah. significant.
Yeah. Because yeah. I'm only worthy of this thing if yes. I make it here. And that's not true. And I think yeah. if you can demantle that and go, no, I am worthy from the start. Now let's grow and let's go pursue
and
those
play.
Things. And play and yeah. have fun. Man, life becomes so fun. Art becomes so fun.
Yes.
Because I'm not actually here having to prove something. And I just get to have fun and work hard and have that combination.
Yeah. You know? And it's like, I think what I find, like, even using dance as an example, you might follow the intrigue or the you might follow dance, but then yeah. it may open you up into something else,
yeah.
like even physical theater. You might be like, actually, I love acting and storytelling, and there's more to me, but it started off as dance, but it evolved yeah. into this.
I was trained to just like this. You are trained to be the performer.
Yeah.
And I remember in conservatory always saying, I will never teach. LOL.
Yeah.
And then after conservatory, I started to realize that I was the girl who I have a sister who's 2 years younger. And what we played when we were younger was school.
Same.
And I was yeah. the teacher. Yeah. And she was the one who got to do homework.
Yeah.
And I realized after conservatory
yeah,
that I actually loved teaching. There was something in me that came alive so much. So I'm like, oh, I've always said I would never do this, but it actually makes me come alive so much more. And it's cool to see now that I have dance in my life, but I also, both as a performer, but also as someone who gets to lead and teach and direct, but I'm also married and I also have a family. And there's so yeah. many more dreams that actually got fulfilled in the process of holding my dreams and my expectations loosely.
Yeah.
That I think sometimes God dreams for me are bigger than what I can dream
yep.
because art requires you, or more things in life, they require you to go after it with everything you have.
Yeah.
But sometimes you lose sight of all the other things in life that are also important.
Yeah. Yeah.
Including your mental health.
Right. And we want to be holistic in our approach to following yeah. our dreams.
Yeah.
So let's talk about pioneering a school.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go into all the details, but I think that, I remember like hearing people say to me, you're a pioneer, you're a trailblazer. And I yeah. was like, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
And then we started BCA. And I think what was really cool is all of us felt so passionate.
Yeah.
Passionate.
Yeah.
Oh, I just want to feel that naive passion again.
Yeah.
Because it was beautiful. We were so passionate
yeah.
about building this school and this vision.
Yeah.
And coming in, I think we had big expectations.
Yeah.
And then reality hit.
Yeah.
So tell me a bit about your journey with that. Like, because yeah. I think that, and my hope in sharing this is more to encourage perseverance if you're in a tough spot
yeah.
in pioneering a business or whatever. But yeah, tell us a bit of
yeah, because pioneering requires so much sacrifice.
Yes.
And I think the lesson with that is knowing what to sacrifice and what not to sacrifice.
Yeah.
I remember somewhere in the first couple years, like I think we both are. I'm someone who's like, I have a lot of capacity. I'm like, here I am. I'm going all in.
All in.
Everything on the table. We moved our whole life to America. There was very little money involved. We did the thing because we valued it. We had vision for it. And honestly, I thrive in that place, I've noticed. But I remember a moment, probably a couple years in, where I just felt the Lord go, hey, Lise, you sacrifice more than I asked you to sacrifice.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, because sometimes in pioneering, we just go head on with so much sweet, innocent naivety and like passion, and we give it all. But it also requires all. I think pioneering requires perseverance. It requires seeing something through for longer than often feels comfortable.
Yeah.
I think there is the passion side of pioneering. And then we get into the uncomfortable side of pioneering where we haven't seen the breakthrough yet, or we haven't seen the numbers, or it's getting difficult. And then how do we navigate through that? And if we're meant to stay, like how do we stay through that uncomfortable space?
Yeah.
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 I think, pioneering it's just not as glamorous as
no.
It can seem, but I think that's the same with leadership too.
Right.
We want to be a leader, you know, mm-hmm. we want to have ownership over something and get to make a decision, be in charge. Yeah. But leadership comes with so much weightiness to be responsible for others or be responsible for a thing. And also to feel like as a leader, as a pioneer, you're being watched a lot.
Yes.
You're being watched for what you do, for what decisions you make, for how you manage things. And I feel like that was really vulnerable.
Yeah.
I think pioneering, saying like, there's something I believe needs to happen, but the people around me might not see it yet, and I'm going to go and fight for it. And I think it can feel lonely, mm-hmm. or you can feel rejected in it, or I think it can just feel vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I think it brings up a lot in us that we're going to have to learn how to manage.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I think if I look back at those early years, like I can feel, well, I remember going in because we've just done a leadership school, yeah, like exactly. where we know how to be leaders.
Yeah.
And I really had these thoughts on what a good leader should be.
Yeah.
And then, because you go in and you're judging your leaders and you're like, yeah, I would never do that. And this is how I would handle it. And then you become a leader.
Yeah.
And it's so vulnerable. And I think a big thing that I had to work through is so much shame of feeling like, because there were so many new things.
Yeah.
It was a lot of brave things. Yeah. It was a lot of new things, a lot of things we've never done before, a lot of like the vulnerability of we're pitching a vision of what we want, but we're not at that level. We're not actually integrated yet.
Yeah.
We haven't created the culture yet. It's kind of messy now, and it's not.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think the shame of feeling like we're not fully in, we have this great vision, but it's not really happening. Yeah. You know, like that's, we're trying to do that.
Yeah. And why is it not happening yet? And what do we do different? I think pioneering made me appreciate the small beginnings.
Yes.
Know? And learn how to steward that.
Yeah.
Because one is important.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes with pioneering in the beginning, you're like, this is going to change the world.
Yeah.
and then you go, and here I'm learning to love five students in the class and make those five students the most important thing of the year.
Yeah.
And actually in that appreciate just what has been given. I think learning that if my hands are open, I actually also learned, because I had some moments in that where I felt just this inclination of like, yeah, but this is all you're ready for.
Yeah.
You think you're ready for big things because that's what you're going to, you know, pursue.
Yeah.
And kind of this thing of like, no, you are ready for this many students, or this thing, or this program being 1 year, or this is actually what you as a person can hold, or what the organization can hold, and kind of go, oh, then let's lean into that and let's stay with the cadence of that. Mm. And I think that's humbling. I think pioneering is humbling.
Yeah. And like, I think because we so desire promotion and to be honored. Like, I remember feeling like, we started a school to be honored. Like,
oh, that one. I feel like in year one, I had a really powerful moment. I think talking with one of our colleagues.
Yeah.
And both of us were kind of processing like expectations. We did this thing. And
we built this school.
We built this school.
Yeah.
And then kind of had this feeling of like, but it wasn't your baby.
Yes.
And I was like, oh yeah, because it actually wasn't.
Like,
we had the founders and we came alongside because we said, yes, we're going to help build this. But I, in the beginning, had to really keep reminding myself, this isn't your baby.
Yeah.
And in the end, you are not the end responsible one.
Yeah, we don't financially have to, if it doesn't
nothing,
work out.
If it doesn't work out, it's actually not on you.
We don't own the buildings. No. Like, you know,
it's not our our name on it. Mm-hmm. So I think that was an important one in pioneering. They say, right, when you have a dream or you don't know your dream yet, go serve someone else's dream.
Yes.
And I feel like when BCA came along, I felt this thing of like, yes, I am meant to serve here. yeah. to be here. And I made that dream also my own dream. There was so yeah. much of my dream in it, but yes. it actually wasn't my baby.
Yeah.
And I had to go, okay, so then how can I steward someone else's baby really well?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's so good, because I think that we all had that realization.
Yeah.
Because there is a lot of self-sacrifice yeah. and pioneering.
Yeah.
But I love your question, or the challenge that you had of like, I didn't ask you to sacrifice that.
Because yeah. that yeah. that came alongside of that moment, was realizing, yeah. oh, but if it isn't my baby, then one, I'm putting expectations on yes. the people around that actually is not realistic.
Yeah.
I'm putting expectations on myself that maybe also I don't mm-hmm. need to have. And I maybe am giving so much to this, because sometimes when you give everything of yourself, you also expect something back.
Oh, 100%.
And I had to go, no, what am I actually meant to give? And then what expectations can I lay down so that I can actually pioneer in the long haul, so yeah. that I actually have the longevity to keep staying with it.
Yeah.
Because pioneering isn't a 1 year thing, and it's not going to be difficult for only 1 year. It's like,
right.
it's a longer process. And
yeah.
Yeah. I think that really helped settle something in me that made me go, okay, well then I know where what this is and what I can bring to it, and how I can pioneer within this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think like one huge thing, and we've worked through this, I think it's a human thing. And yeah. I think our leaders, like everyone experiences where you want to feel acknowledged for yeah. your hard work. So yeah. it's normal that you would feel like, I have this expectation because yeah. I've done all this stuff.
Yeah.
But it is powerful to get out of, like, because you can feel really powerless. And I yeah. think that's when we create hurt inside of relationships
yeah.
where we have this stealth expectation
yeah.
that I'm going to be seen for yeah. this thing. And like, ultimately, I remember adjusting myself of yeah. like, what expectation do I have on myself, and
yeah.
where am I actually okay? Because when you're pioneering, there's so much need
yeah.
and like, you have to let some balls drop to the ground,
yeah.
which is really hard.
Yeah.
But it's almost like it helps you kind of keep focus on the main thing.
Yeah.
And I know for me, when I could even look at like, well, I think Wholehearted Artists, like that is yeah. going to be a class that should be taught. And I remember thinking like, I'm just going to like ask for what I want. We're pioneering. We can do yeah. that. And so it kind of gave a sense of autonomy and like
yeah.
power where yeah. I built enough trust where our leadership were like, yeah, go teach that class.
Yeah.
And I've seen you build the same kind of trust with leaders yeah. where it's like, hey, I'm faithfully serving.
Yeah.
And then you receive promotion for head of dance. Like,
yeah.
so tell me a little bit about your journey feeling empowered.
Yeah.
In a situation that can feel really powerless.
Yes. Yeah. Cause pioneering is a lot of doing things that aren't being seen.
Yeah.
But I had to realize that I feel that way, but my leaders also feel that way.
Yes.
And, you know, like
we're all feeling
that way.
Yeah.
Cause that's just what it is.
Yeah.
And you have to be okay with that. Mm-hmm. And indeed find, I think I come from a background of a lot of pain and trauma.
Yeah.
So I've really had to fight in my 20s. To not feel like a victim
yeah.
and not go back to like, I was a victim as a child. So that yes. is a trigger that can come up now.
In your workplace.
In my workplace. Yes. And in those moments where I felt like I'm a victim of, you know, the surroundings, yeah. the circumstances, where can I find my power? Where can I realize that I'm not a victim? Also, that I can walk out whenever I want to.
Yeah.
Like that actually is a really freeing thing to
yes.
know. I'm not a victim in this situation.
Yes.
And if it's not changing, if I've adjusted my expectations and not changing, I can walk out and be okay mm-hmm. with that. But
yeah, that's such yeah. a great point.
Yeah, I think yeah. just really fighting and finding that. I think for me, my journey in BCA in pioneering has also been filling different roles.
Yeah.
because you yes. and I both have filled different roles.
Every role.
By now, I have been in every single office in the building.
Yes.
I have been yeah. in all of them. And I think that was my journey too, was going, okay, this thing that I thought I was going to pioneer or build within dance actually was put on hold for a couple years, because where the yeah. need was in pastoring students.
Yeah.
And my husband and I spent the first 3 years of our marriage pastoring our students. And that was a journey. It was something that I actually came to really love. It was also not easy because it wasn't always my first thing. You know,
yeah, because dance was.
Because dance was. Yeah. And then after that season, when I really felt this like, oh, I don't know if I can do this any longer. I'm losing some of my creative, artistic self. Mm. Something shifted, and I got the promotion to take over the dance program, and that was a really sweet transition. But what I realized as soon as I took over that role is that the 3 years of pastoring, I needed to be able and ready. And I think I learned that in pioneering and being willing to take the places that were needed, I had so much growth and so much change within myself that actually made me ready for the next thing.
Yeah.
Currently, in the last 2 years building a local dance company, I've realized that these like 7 years of pioneering BCA, pioneering a dream, it has grown me as a leader in confidence, as a woman, as a teacher, in a way that I don't know anything else could have.
Yeah.
And I think I'm starting to see now on the back end that all the years of going for it, sacrificing things, fighting for something, pioneering something, ultimately the reward, to say it like that, I'm taking away is a completely changed person.
Yeah.
It's me changed. Yeah.
I love that you're saying that, because I think when we start something, we want the glory days.
Yeah.
We want like the everything we touch turns to gold.
Yeah.
Like, because, and ultimately, as you're mentioning, like, it's because something in us is searching for a need to be seen, or like, which are normal human things. You don't want to shame that that's a thing.
Yeah.
But when you can accept, like, this isn't glorious, but I think what you're saying, and I would 100% agree with my journey, it's actually been more about building Ella than building a school.
Yeah.
It's been the building of my character.
Yeah.
It's been like building of so much where I think, like you talk about confidence, like I think if I received a promotion, the promotion would have crushed me because I was not stable internally enough to carry that.
Yeah.
Whereas like if you can view the thing, if you're pioneering something, if you can view it as like what character am I being built right now, rather than what recognition am I getting for all the hard work I'm doing?
Yeah. Because when we get tired, that's what we want.
Yeah.
But to know that I started this in the first place, or I joined in on this because I believed in it.
Yes.
It was my choice.
Yes, that's so good.
And I think that is always important to go. And if I decide to continue another year, another 2 years, it is my choice because I believe in this thing.
Yeah.
And I believe in moving forward with that. And I think that's what,
That's so good.
It makes us have the right heart posture too. I've also realized that in the last 7 years, I've grown so much in my character, but also have gone so much healthier emotionally.
Yeah.
Dealt with my triggers.
Yeah.
Gotten older. Sometimes, I don't know.
Yeah, you had a baby and you're like, I haven't got time for this.
Motherhood changed me, and not necessarily that I dream differently or anything. I feel like I still have big dreams. I still do a lot, but I am careless about things in such a good way. Like any little bit of fear of men or having a hard time making decisions because what's the right thing? I'm like, nope, this is what we're going to do.
What we're going to do. And like we're less, I think, I don't know about you, but I know my journey of building this school exposed the people pleaser in me that wants to keep everyone happy.
Yeah.
Whereas like I've come to a level of acceptance of, and like you are as a leader making a million decisions.
Yeah.
And so I thought a good leader meant I make every right decision.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's more like, actually, did I take, you know, did I obsess about that on the weekend?
Yeah. When,
you know, that decision that maybe wasn't the right one. Like, actually, success looks like to me not obsessing about every little detail.
Every little thing. Exactly.
Yeah.
But, and I feel with that comes that now that I feel just healthier, I also feel like I have more longevity or more perseverance to pioneer.
Yes.
Because when every little thing is such a big decision, or every decision becomes such a big thing, and there's fear of rejection and there's fear of not doing enough or doing good enough. I think that makes pioneering so much harder. That's what weighs it down. And now I feel like this last year I found something where I'm like, oh, I love pioneering because I love building something. I love seeing something that is not there yet and seeing it come hopefully into like a fruitful place. But I think I'm better at it now because there's less of me in it. I don't have to, I'm not pioneering because I have to prove myself.
Yeah.
I don't need someone else's recognition. I'm doing it because I believe it's meant to be done.
Yeah.
And I'm able to manage my expectations better in the process to not see quick fulfillment or quick response right away. Yeah. Just stay in the maintaining. My husband's really good at building a structure and then saying, we're just going to stick with it for a while.
Yeah.
Which as pioneers and then creatives might not be our strong suit.
Michael has been working with us creative. He's so patient.
And I think as my husband, I've started to see the fruit in that, and it started to slow. It hasn't started to slow down my drive, but it has made me go, oh, let's take a little bit more time to find the right structure for this and then let that kind of be built.
Yeah.
Instead of like, we're going to go left. Oh, left's not working. Let's go right. Okay, well, no, let's, you know, that.
Yeah.
And because I think sometimes that can come with pioneering. So
yeah, totally.
I feel like there's more longevity in pioneering now than what I had when I first started.
Yeah. And I definitely went through a burnout myself in it.
Yeah.
So because I feel like my counsel would say it was the death of your false self, Ella. Like the death of your ego, the death of your just ideas about who people should be and what you should, the role that we've been playing since childhood, like that all dies.
Yeah.
And a more authentic, aligned version emerges.
Yeah.
Which is what we've gone on a very
similar
journey, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Aw, Lisa. Well, just sort of in closing.
Yeah.
I feel like a huge thing that gets in the way of dreams fulfilled is disappointment.
Yeah.
And we talk about, disappointment is often, which is a good thing because it means you hoped when we want hope.
Yeah.
But can you give some advice on like how to pivot expectations because I feel like what you've done is a lot of reframing and reimagining like, oh, we could go down this. We have options. Yeah. It's my choice. Like, I'm in the driver's seat. So tell me about how to, just move through the disappointment to get to a place of hope again, maybe.
Yeah. It's a good question. I think observing that if I keep experiencing pain in a certain way, it probably is because I've set expectations somewhere that aren't being met.
Yeah.
And then where I have power is to change those expectations. So I think that's what I've learned is, okay, then where am I putting expectations on people or on the dream?
Yeah.
Or on God?
Yeah.
And where can I rephrase those expectations? Learning to forgive so that my heart stays open.
Man.
Is a really big one.
That's a big one.
We're all human.
Yeah.
If I can't forgive someone else, how can I expect to be forgiven when I make mistakes?
Yeah.
You know, my leaders make mistakes. I've made mistakes too.
Yeah.
So learning to forgive, I think a big one for me is learning to challenge my own stories.
Wow.
The stories that I make up in my head of the situations that happened, often those stories aren't tested. Like I haven't actually challenged them. I haven't talked to people if that was actually what happened.
Yeah.
Especially when you're pioneering together with a team, there can be a lot of disappointment or pain. So to challenge those stories has been really good for me. And I think ultimately, I've always had to trust that if I felt the Lord on something and I made that decision, then I believe in a good God. So I believe that in the end, you're not responsible to fulfill that vision that I had.
Yeah.
And if I haven't seen the fulfillment of it yet, then I'm not holding you responsible for
That's
it.
So
I'm holding
good.
The Lord responsible
yes.
for it. And I, but in a very open-hearted way.
Yeah.
I think it's important to keep checking your heart to not carry disappointment towards the Lord, even though that can also be real.
Yeah.
But I think in my journey with BC, I've always been like, I feel like there's things I'm called to, hopes, dreams, and BC is actually not responsible to fill that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe somewhere in my life that will sort itself out, that will be fulfilled, whether it's now or it's in 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think finding the good in things, being thankful.
Yeah. And
gratitude. For me, there was a season where every night I would go to bed, and before I'd go to bed, I'd write a list of like 5 things I'm thankful for today.
Mm-hmm.
Or in a season where I really struggled with self-image, it was like 5 things I love about myself.
Yeah.
But it's something so simple, but I feel like if you cultivate once a day this like gratitude or place of gratitude, then it starts to come into other moments of the day, because I'm starting to cultivate that I can be grateful.
So good.
Because this place is offering me something. It might not be everything that I expected or dreamed of yet, but there is actually a place where I get to be with other creatives. There's so many things I get to be thankful for. So for me, gratitude is really helpful when I'm walking through disappointment. But sometimes there's also seasons in your life where you need to let something completely die.
Yes.
And I think staying with the season is an important one, because I think sometimes we run beyond that, and that's when we get hurt, because we felt the inclination to wait, but we didn't want to wait. So we pushed through, and then we got hurt. So I think for me, it's been important to keep checking in, like, what is the season? And if this is the season in other areas of life where I've had to let something die, I actually have to let it die and have to grieve it, so that my heart will be ready for when something new comes. I think with building the dance company, that was a big one, because that came after a season of being disappointed in that area and having to have let something die. And then when I started to feel the like, oh, now is the time, it didn't always look like the right time, but because I got pregnant at the same time, but it was the right season. So there was also life on it. So yeah.
That's such a beautiful response. Yeah. And I can even feel a tenderness as you're talking about it, because when we talk about disappointment, we're talking about pain.
Yeah.
And so
it's hard.
It's so hard.
Disappointment is hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going to walk through a lot of disappointment in life. Yeah. It's part of it. We're not going to avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's not looking for ways to avoid that disappointment. It's knowing how to walk through it so your heart comes out clean, so that you can give things a second chance.
Yeah.
Because sometimes disappointment can create, even if we've walked through it, it can create this fear.
Mm-hmm.
That it would happen again. So then we avoid those situations. But what if the second time was actually the redemption?
Yeah.
You know? And
that's so good.
I don't want to live life pushing away things because I got hurt or disappointed the first time. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, how can we walk through failure, or how can we walk through disappointment and give it another chance?
Yeah.
So I have to do what I need to do to get things, to give things a second chance or a third chance or a fourth chance.
Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Oh my gosh. We could talk forever. Yeah. Because we've just got such a similar journey. Yeah. And it's been such a fun conversation today. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. and I think because I think both of us have walked through sometimes crushing disappointment.
Yeah.
So we're not sitting here on this hopeful side, like, you know, it's taken a lot of guts to get to this place.
Yeah.
And to be hopeful still is so beautiful. And so I hope as you're listening that you get a bit of an insight into, if you feel like you want to start a business or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get a bit of an insight into it, but it's your healing. Your dreams need your healing.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Yeah, they do.
You know.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. It's worth spending that time growing your character, your heart, your spirit so that the dream also gets to be something that you get to do, not who you are.
Yes.
I am not my dream and I'm not the thing that we're pioneering.
Yeah.
And whatever happens with that, it doesn't determine my value.
Yeah.
So it can actually live freely. Mm-hmm. I think it's how you manage people best from that place, how you interact with the world around you.
And
you're most free to then build it freely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that you use the word free, which I think goes hand in hand with surrender. Because I think when we're in pain, we want to control and we want to not let it die.
Yeah.
But then, like you mentioned, like we're surrendering to a good God, taking the power back from our leaders and actually giving our destiny to God, who, you know, put it all in his book.
Yeah.
You know?
And because I feel like the dreams we have are meant to serve the people around. And if we put too much of ourself in it, like if this dream or the fulfillment of it needs to confirm or affirm something in me, then that dream is not really anymore about the people that it gets to serve.
100%.
And then the people that it's meant to serve get hurt by it because I need it for me. And I think that is an important shift to make.
Yeah. So powerful. She's so wise and so mature. Oh, Lisa, I love you so much.
I love you.
Yeah. And so guys, you can check out Lisa's Instagram. We'll post that in the notes there. And you can follow Commune Dance. Did I say it right?
Yeah, Commune Dance Company.
Yes. Yeah. And follow along. But thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. We finally did it.
Yeah. Taken as well. We've talked about this for like 2 years.
Probably.
Yeah.
3 years, probably. Because I've had the podcast a while now. But thank you for coming on.
You're welcome.
Yay. Thanks for listening today. Please download, share with your friends, and write a review. If you would like to book in a life coaching session with me, go to my website at www.ella-hooper.com or follow me on Instagram at Next Brave Thing Podcast.